This is Nightline, the line that's open at the right place at the right moment, and this is Walter O'Keefe. Good evening, and here's our first Nightline call tonight from Hollywood. Groucho Marx and You Bet Your Life. Hey, George, you tell us, what is tonight's secret word?
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word is people. P-E-O-P-L-E.
Really?
You bet your life. The National Broadcasting Company presents Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz show transcribed from Hollywood. Groucho meets our first contestants in just 1 minute.
In centuries past, this was the sound that used to get the news around. Yes, in centuries past, the people on one side of the hill beat the drum to share the news of the world with the people on the other side of the hill. And since the world in those days was a smaller, more easygoing world, this was enough to get the news around. Ours is a chaotic age with critical events flashing across the face of the earth. Fortunately for us, we can keep up with these events because we have at our fingertips the fastest means of communication ever devised. We have radio. And NBC Radio, with news on the hour, keeps you alerted to world events wherever they happen, as soon as they happen. From ages primitive to present, people have wanted to keep up with events. And in our day and age, this is the sound that really gets the news around. This is Leon Pearson inviting you to keep up with the news on the hour all day, every day, over most of these NBC stations.
Here he is, the one, the only...
Well, here I am again with a chance for each of our couples to win up to $10,000. And if any of them say the secret word, they'll win an extra $100.
Groucho,
who's first, George? You're supposed to wait until I say who's first.
Oh, am I?
You can be replaced, you know.
Mr. Stephen Perkins is waiting to
Stephen
talk.
Stephen Foster, isn't it?
No, Stephen Perkins is this gentleman's name.
Oh,
he's
this
waiting.
Is not the songwriter, huh?
No. Groucho, I have Mr. Stephen Perkins waiting to talk to you, and his
you
partner...
You said that, George.
His partner is a special guest... Mrs. Catherine Godfrey, and I think I might mention here that Mrs. Godfrey is Arthur Godfrey's mother.
Well, shucks. Well, welcome to the next life. Say the secret word and you'll divide an extra $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Well, what do you know? Arthur Godfrey's mother, huh?
People say, are you related to him? And I say, I'm his producer.
No. Well, you said the secret word, people. So you and your partner over here split $100. So now you're already $50 ahead. Okay. Back where you came from, huh? You're Stephen Perkins?
Yes, sir.
Where are you from, Mr. Perkins?
Marblehead.
No, I don't want a description of you. I just want to know... All I want to know is where you hail from.
And then...
Where are you
from? I went
from?
To the Granite State.
Oh, the Granite State.
Born in Marblehead.
Well, tell us something about Marblehead. What was your boyhood like there?
Didn't have one there.
What was it like in New Hampshire?
It was mighty cold. Mighty cold.
Mighty cold. Say, you're a regular fountain of information, aren't you? Steve, you said it was cold back there in New Hampshire. We don't have cold winters in California, you know. We just have colds. But I know what it's like back there in the winter because, you know, I was brought up in the East. How'd you like it as a boy, for instance, in the winter? How would you get to school?
Well, we used to have to walk to school. We used to plow through a lot of snow. Some mighty cold, cold weather.
Well, that's admirable. Those are the things that made America great. Nothing could stop the children of those days from achieving an education. Now, how far was the school from your home?
3 blocks.
Well, you were a real pioneer, weren't you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
3 blocks. When I was in school, I had to go 10 blocks.
Heavens.
Yeah, well, these were cell blocks in a reform school. Catherine, where are you from?
New York City.
New York City, huh? And when were you born?
I was born in 1879 in Oswego, New York.
You swing on who in New York?
Oswego, New York.
Oh, I thought you said you had Oswego in New York. By the way, how does it feel to be the mother of a famous celebrity?
Oh,
what did you say his name was?
Arthur. Godfrey.
Arthur. Oh, Godfrey, yeah. Catherine, you seem interested and alert in what's going on around you. How do you spend your time? Do you have any particular projects and interests?
I'm a composer, and I write music, and I brought you two marches I have for you later.
Oh, good.
And I play the organ, the piano, everything I can lay my hands on. I have a hand.
Well, could you play him? You could lay your hands on him.
And I am quite a cut-up. You give me a piece of paper, I'll cut something
out. Piece of paper?
Check with you.
Well, I don't have
No, I don't want that. I want a piece of that white paper. That
this? This is cardboard. Could you do it
on
this?
Yeah, I can do it with that. And do you know
what the thing is, if you cut that up, your name is on there, and I won't know who you are.
Cut up anyway. You know what the telephone number is of the Garden of Eden?
The telephone number of the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
No, what is it?
281-APPLE.
That's mighty good.
I gave you a cigar instead of a pipe.
No, you gave me a pipe instead of a cigar. Why did you do that? Do you object to cigar smoking? That's rather good, isn't it, huh?
No glasses.
You see them?
I can cut your name out, but you have to have a typewriter paper to do it.
No, well, I don't. I haven't even got a typewriter.
Well,
now, Catherine, I want you to be honest. Do you think this really looks like me?
No.
You know what it looks like, don't you? It looks more like one of those tea bags that your son is always holding up. Well, you're a charming couple, and I've certainly enjoyed talking to both of you. And, Catherine, I think your son is a real big talent. And when you see him, you give him my regards on another network. You think he's going to be happy with your appearance here tonight?
He doesn't know it.
Well, he will if he sees it, won't
he?
Or doesn't he
watch?
What
can he do? It's all over.
But do you think he'll enjoy it?
Oh, he must.
I mean, does he approve of you having a theatrical career?
It's fun.
Huh?
When I'm out. I do lots of club work. I sing and recite and read and everything else at clubs. Women's clubs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but does he approve?
Well, he'd rather stay at home and knit, but I'm not going to.
You're the boss, though, aren't you?
I'm the boss for myself.
Well, you just keep throwing your weight around. You selected United States geography, and I'm going to ask you some questions. If you miss two in a row, you're out. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. Now, what state is famous for its bluegrass region?
Kentucky.
You have one right.
Now, talk it over before you answer, because he might have a different answer.
We couldn't.
What state lies directly north of Louisiana? Now, talk it over.
Arkansas.
Arkansas is right, yeah.
You have two right. Two more right, and you'll have $1,000.
Good.
Now, in what city is the Alamo?
That's in Texas.
What city?
San Antonio
is right.
You're almost there. Get the next one right, and $1,000 is yours.
Now, which of our state capitals is situated at the highest altitude?
I would say Denver.
Washington.
I would say Denver.
Denver? I want Denver.
Well, I'm glad you have different answers because you're both wrong. It happens to be Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh?
That's a fooler, isn't it, huh?
Well, now you have one wrong. If you get the next one wrong, the game is over
now,
for you.
What state is known as the land of sky blue water?
From the Minnesota land
of sky blue water.
That's Minnesota.
Minnesota is right.
Well, you're back on the right track. You have one right now.
Now, what state lies directly east of Oregon?
Wait a minute.
Cork it over.
East of Montana.
Well, what do you decide
east
on?
East of Montana, west.
You said east of Oregon, did you not?
East of Oregon.
Idaho.
Oh, I thought you said east of Montana.
Excuse well, do you me. Agree with that, Captain?
Yes,
Idaho. Well, he's right. It was Idaho.
I thought you said east of Montana.
And you pretty near talked him out of the money, eh?
Sure did.
Well, you have two right anyway.
In what state do you find Bunker Hill?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is right.
We agree on that.
Now you got three right.
The next one right, you'll have your $1,000.
The Lake of the Woods projection is the northernmost point of the United States. In what state is it?
That's in Minnesota, primarily. Do you agree to that?
Minnesota.
No, they haven't given it. Minnesota? It's a good thing you got him here tonight, Catherine. Minnesota is right.
And you have four in a row, so you win $1,000.
Oh, that's good.
Now you've won $1,000. Now you can keep it and quit, or else you can come back later and try to double your money. You might even get a chance at $10,000. So go over there and sit down and think about it.
Well.
And thanks for being on the show.
In just a moment, our second couple will join Groucho to play You Bet Your Life.
Open a beer.
Why, it sounds like Pabst.
Pabst.
Pabst is the beer that speaks for itself. It speaks with authority. It says, well done, now have a beer. It speaks of fellowship and good cheer. It says it in one word, listen here.
Pabst.
Blue Ribbon Beer.
Pabst Brewing Company, Milwaukee.
All right, George, carry on. Who's our next couple? Who's on deck?
Groucho, Miss Ziva Rodan and Mr. Murray Rose
are
standing.
On deck?
No, they're just standing by to talk to you.
Standing by what?
They're standing by the outside here. Would you please come in, folks, and meet Groucho Marx now?
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and divide an extra $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Murray Rose and Ziva Rodan, is that right?
Yes.
Well, you're an attractive young couple. And Ziva, I'll start with you. And what I'd like to do is wind up with you. Now, what kind of a name is Ziva?
Ziva is an Israeli name. It means sunshine.
It does, huh?
Yes.
Well, would you mind coming a little closer? I'd like to get sunburned before the evening. Are you from Israel?
Yes, I am. I was born in Haifa.
Yeah. You speak very good English. Did you learn it in Israel?
Well, basically, yes, but I went to school in St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis. Why did you go to St. Louis to school? Did you like the draft beer there with your lunch?
Well, I have an uncle who is a psychiatrist in St. Louis, and he invited me to visit with them for a couple of years, and I finished high school there. And then I went back to Israel and joined the army.
Joined the army? What did you do in the army? General housework? Or?
No, the first 2 months I went through a basic training just like a regular soldier, and then I was placed in the entertainment division.
You entertained the whole army?
Well, not quite the whole army at once, you know. Well,
what did you do in the army? I mean, what did you do in the army?
I danced and I sang and I...
Is this while the war was on? You were singing and dancing?
Of course.
They have dances in the army in Israel?
Well, it's something like the USO, you know.
Apparently the Gaza Strip isn't what I thought it was.
It isn't.
No wonder they've been fighting over it.
You know?
I'll get around to you in a moment, Ziva. And get started with this character here. You're Murray Rose, huh?
Right.
Now, where are you from?
From Australia, Groucho.
Whereabouts? Were you born under a kangaroo? Or?
I was born in Birmingham, England.
You just said you were from Australia.
Well, I was born in Birmingham, England, and I traveled to Australia when I was one, and I've been living there in Sydney ever since.
Well, what are you doing here?
I'm studying. I'm a student down at SC, Southern California.
Oh, I didn't know they had any students at USC. What are you studying there?
I'm taking a course in television and cinema from the point of view of acting and directing and producing.
What did you do in Australia? Is that the way you pronounce it? Australia?
Australia.
Yeah.
Well, I've been swimming since I was three.
You must have more barnacles on you than the Queen Mary. How old are you?
19.
I thought you were around 30. You're not old enough for this girl.
Oh, yes, she is.
This kid talks for herself, huh? Have you achieved anything as a swimmer?
I've had quite a good success.
Have you been on any big swimming meets?
I was in the recent Olympic Games in 1956 in Melbourne.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, you had some stiff competition, as I recall, in the Olympics. How did you make out?
I did quite reasonably. I won 3 gold medals.
This is... This is what is known as typical British understatement. Isn't that something of a record, 3 gold medals?
I believe so, yes. The last person to do it was Johnny Weissmuller in 1924.
Oh, and he wound up a tree. Now, Murray, Do you have any particular secrets for winning gold medals? Any training rules that we'd be interested in that would help these people out front, for example?
Well, I restrict myself to no drinking, no smoking, no late nights, no dates.
How about diet? Do you eat anything special, like steaks and strawberry shortcake and things like that?
Well, to you, I probably have quite an unusual diet. I don't eat meat or fish or poultry, and instead I eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. And at the same time, I stay away from most devitalized and unprocessed foods, such as white sugars and white flours.
Well, if you don't eat meat and fish, where do you get your proteins?
Well, from such foods as nuts and soybeans and yogurt, wheat germ.
Well, now, let me get this straight. You don't have any late hours, no smoking, no drinking, no girls, no steaks, and no sweets.
That's right.
Well, when you're out there swimming, have you ever thought of just drowning yourself? Well, you're a lovely couple, and if you don't get married tonight, you both ought to have your heads examined. Now, you selected world geography. I'm going to ask you some questions. If you miss two in a row, you're through. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. What is another name for the Republic of Ireland? It's one word.
Ire?
That'll do. Could be Aaron, too.
You now have one right.
I used to know a boy in Ireland. He was an Aaron boy. No, it's E-R-I-N. Cologne is the city on the Atlantic side of the Panama Canal. What is the city on the Pacific side? Take a guess. Well, the bell is rung. Well, it's Balboa. Abyssinia is the former name of what country?
Persia?
No. Gee, you ought to know this. Ethiopia.
Well, I'm too long in a row.
Sorry. I was hoping you were going to win some money.
Oh, me too.
All right, I'm going to give you one more question for $100, and please don't help because it's rather difficult. Are you ready? What color was the old gray mare? Pink, that's right. Sorry you didn't win more, but thanks anyway
Thank
for being with us.
Much.
And I know you're going to have a very successful
Thank
future,
you
and
much.
You too.
Thanks, Groucho.
You'll get along swimmingly.
Before I go, I'd just like to say I'd like to donate my money to the community chest.
Oh.
Because I come under the rules of the Pacific Coast Conference, and they don't allow me to accept money at the present.
Oh. Well, you're a fine young fellow, and I'm sure you're going to be a great success. And thanks for being here.
We'll find out if our first couple will try for $10,000 in just a moment.
Hi, folks. This is Pat O'Brien, speaking to you about the many things crippled children need. Special care, muscle training, special schooling, to name just a few. But most of all, they need to belong. They need to be part of the everyday life about them, to play in the sunshine, to be accepted by other children. Have you ever listened to the slow shuffle of young feet heavy with braces that reach from shoes to hips? Or the measured tapping of the child who must walk with crutches when he plays? If you have, I'm sure you've found yourself wishing that every child could walk or run freely. That is what crippled children wish, too. And you and I have a part to play in making some of their wishes come true. One of the ways to do this is by giving to Easter Seals so that more crippled children may have special care and treatment. Or you can contribute directly to crippled children in care of your local post office.
George, we're ready to see who wants to get a crack at all this fabulous money.
All right, here's Stephen Perkins and Mrs. Catherine Godfrey. Would you come back out here again, please?
Now, if you decide to try for the 10 and you fail, you wind up with a total of 500. Now, what are you going to do?
Well, I think I'll let him do it, and I'll back up.
Well, congratulations on winning the 500. Now, take a seat over there. Now, Mr. Perkins, you're going to try for the big money, huh?
Yes, I'll go on. Well,
think of a number between 1 and 10.
9.
Well, 9? Well, give the wheel a turn.
Okay.
Well, you chose 9 and came up 4, so this question is worth $1,000. You ready?
Already.
The Emporia, Kansas Gazette became nationally famous through the efforts of its wise and gifted editor. For $1,000, who was this outstanding small-town newspaper man? Think it over. What have you got?
That was Mr. White.
That was William Allen White is right. Yes, that's right. Well, for a country boy from New Hampshire, you've done pretty well. Now you've got $1,000. What are you going to do with all that money?
Well, I don't mind hard work, but that's a difficult decision, and I think I'll let Mrs. Perkins decide.
Oh. Well, congratulations, and thanks for being with us. You bet your life.
You Bet Your Life is transcribed in Hollywood. Produced by John Goodell. Directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jack Meekin. This is George Fenneman reminding you to tune in again next week, same time, same station, to hear the one, the only Groucho. And see Groucho every Thursday evening on NBC television. You Bet Your Life is heard by our armed forces around the world. The Telephone Hour celebrates St. Patrick's Day with an all-Irish program starring Brian Sullivan tonight on most of these NBC stations.